We're talking this morning about gifts of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're looking over in there. We're talking, our major scriptures that we're using was from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And in verse 1 it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." And we found out in the Bible, the word gifts was added there. In fact, like in my Bible and most Bibles that I have, that word is italicized, which meaning it was added by the translators to trying to explain something, but really, that's not what it's talking about there. It's talking about things of the Spirit, things that pertain to the Spirit. Now concerning, in other words, spiritual things, brother, and I don't want you to be ignorant. We have great ignorance in the church world today in the areas of spirituality. And one, you'll always have ignorance in the areas of spirituality when the word's not preached. You know, we have such small segments in the Bible that are ministered on to about today, that are talked about. And people generally don't know the Word of God. You can't be spiritual and only know a little bit about the Word, and only know certain sections. You know, I know about the money thing, and I like the love part, and I like... No, you got to have the counsel of God. You need to get it all in there if you want to grow up spiritually. Because if you only know pretty much about one side, I remember, like people would get over into things when I was growing up spiritually, and you'd have some people over here, they focused, on healing all the time, or somebody was on money all the time. They get over there and they get lopsided. They'll get lopsided. They have this one thing that they focus on, but there's a lot of the word they stay away from, and there's a lot they don't know. And there's no one subject, all of it fits together, If you don't know about faith, you can try to walk in love all you want and you'll end up a mixed up idiot. If you don't know how faith works. Now we want to understand about love, but we want to understand how love works in the areas of faith. Because you need to understand that. Having love and no faith don't do you any good. You'll probably be a doormat is what you're going to be. Run over all the time, sitting around not understanding how it works. So we need to work and understand how these things work. Now I'm going to read there in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 7 says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit's given to each one to profit, the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills." And we need to one thing you need to understand about these manifestations. He says, to one is given, and then he goes on through there. That doesn't mean, well, one person will have one gift, and this person will have this gift, and this person will have that gift in the body. And it's saying, because it ends, it says, as the Spirit wills. As the Spirit wills to give to each one what He wants to do at the time. It's like I've told you, I've had every manifestation of every gift of the Spirit has happened at some time in my Christian walk. I have had these operate. So it can't be like a lot of people have. Well, I have this certain gift, and that's it. I got this gift. And because many times gifts operate together. They operate and flow together as the Holy Spirit operates. The big thing is to know the Holy Spirit. If you don't know the Holy Spirit, you'll be mixed up about these gifts. So many people just, I want to claim a gift, I'd like this gift or I'd like that gift. Forget it. It's how the Holy Spirit moves. The Bible says, I want to look at some things in Scripture. In 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, in verse 31, the first part of that verse says, "But earnestly desire the best gifts." Now listen to what it says, earnestly desire the best. What is it? So all these gifts, I always like what Brother Hagin said, well, what's the best gift? It's what you need at the time. If you need wisdom from God, and a healing anointing wouldn't do much for you, would it? That wouldn't be what you're looking for. So desire. So, but now listen to this. It says desire. You're supposed to earnestly desire. And that word earnest there, it is to covet earnestly. To move with envy. Oh, man, I want this thing. I want to move. It says to be jealous for or zealous for. In other words, it is something that we crave. Now, so it tells us, so you need to understand this. These words would have not been put there if we didn't have something to do with how the will of the Spirit operates. In other words, no more than we want manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit will they operate. No more than people want them. See, many people want them casually. They're not going to seek God for them. They're not going to, you know, like, I really like to have them happen. Let's go watch Benny Hinn perform. But they don't think about themselves and about, you know, is in our church. Everybody, you know, is 1 Corinthians 12 chapter goes over, tells about the whole body. Each part goes down through, talking about each part. Well, each part has giftings. But in the body today, 99% of the body don't flow in anything. They don't flow in anything. Well, something's wrong. This you need to, nobody's going to tell me how important they are in the body and they aren't flowing in any of this stuff. They're not important to the body. They're not important to it. A part that can't flow with God is of no value to the body. They're a drag along. They're a weight to the body to carry them. You know, it's just like, you know, you get babies. Babies are a lot of fun to play with and stuff, but boy, they're a ton of trouble too. So a lot of work to take care of them things. Babies don't do things, and you know what? You have to carry them along, and you have to take them. You got to do all the stuff. Well, that's where is majority of Christians are in the playpen. They're the babies. And most of them that consider themselves spirituals are babies because they don't really flow in the body. They don't have any gift. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 14 chapter, when you come together, let everybody have a psalm, have a tongue, have an interpretation, have a revelation. We've been taught, and the spirit-filled people have been taught, you come together, I come to receive. Paul said you're supposed to come another way. You're supposed to come to give. Why? You're a body. You know, if my liver decides not to give to the rest of the body, you know what happens to Ed? He drops over dead. Because the rest of the body quits. The body of Christ cannot survive with what most Christians are doing. No, we're in this situation because most Christians want entertainment Christian. They want to watch Christian. They just want to hear. They just want to, you know, view something, tell me something, and so I can get this or that. And they don't view it, but it's selfishness. It's not about putting out, it's about taking in. I spend all week preparing to put out. That's why I get so blessed. That's what I do. I spend all week to put out to the body of Christ. I'm always going to be blessed more than the guy that don't. I'm always going to be blessed. Hallelujah. Why? Because I'm a giver. I asked the Lord many years ago, even as a young Christian, I noticed that God would give me revelation and stuff and things, and I would see it other Christians he didn't in that way. And I wasn't in the ministry or nothing. I was just a young Christian, but I saw how God would reveal things to me, and I said to the Lord one day, why on earth do you show me so much stuff? I said, well, he said, because when I give you something, you give it out. He said, these other ones don't. He said, it ain't no point in me giving it to them. They ain't gonna do nothing but keep it. You want revelation, you need to give revelation out. You got to give revelation away to get revelation. Hallelujah. There's no need to have revelation if I'm not going to put it to work. You know, just like people have revelation about healing but never walk in it. Well, what good is it to have that revelation? Is it of no value? It doesn't matter if you have revelation in it. If you don't use it, there's no point to have it. Knowledge of God is not something we just hoard up and we got this big lump here of this huge knowledge that we're carrying around with us and say, wow, look at me. I'm this much. No, you're not spiritual. If you can't put it to work and make it work, and you're not spiritual. You're as carnal as the day is long, carrying that stupid stuff all around with you, having all that glory and not using it. It's a sign of stupidity. It's not a sign of spiritual growth. You can attend as many meetings you want and listen to as many sermons you want, but till you start putting the stuff to work, you're going to be a fat pig spiritually. That's all going to be is a fat pig spiritually. He's going to lay around just till the devil butchers you and makes sausage out of you. It's good preaching anyhow. Ha ha ha. No, we want to do the Word. In 1 Corinthians 14:1, the Apostle Paul wrote this. He says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Now, I want you to say, it always amazes me as translators, before they said earnestly desire, it's the same Greek word that he put desire. You're supposed to earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Let me ask you, I was just weird. But when I was a young Christian and I read these things, I wanted spiritual gifts to operate, and I wanted them to operate through me, and I pushed it to me. The Bible says that's what I was supposed to earnestly desire. The Bible didn't tell me, it never says I'm supposed to earnestly desire wealth, yet most of the body earnestly desires it. You look at all the things the church earnestly desires today, and look at what the Bible says you're supposed to earnestly desire. I'll tell you what, no wonder things are messed up. If you move over in the areas of the Spirit and learn to operate over in the areas of the Spirit, I'll tell you what, God will bless you in your wealth, God will bless you in your health, because you'll know what to do and how to operate. You're not going to learn by going after things and putting things more important than the Bible tells you is more important. You always, if the Bible says to earnestly do something, that should be on the top of your list. When you have your little prayer list, it shouldn't be praying for Uncle Harry. It should never be above that. Doing this and these things, it should always be at the top of your list. What the Bible says, not what you would like or somebody told you you should. Look at what the Bible tells you you should go after. It'll be. You realize if we had just the manifestation in the church world today had manifestations of gifts of the Spirit. I'll tell you what, I'm just going to tell you this. 90% of the counseling in churches would end. I remember back years ago reading a book of an Assembly of God minister who was down in Louisiana somewhere, and anyhow, his church, he talked about his church, you know, grew, but they learned to flow in the things of the Spirit and that stuff. And he said there were some people went to interview him about their church, and they asked about a counseling program they might have. They had 5,000 people, and they asked about a counseling. He said, we don't have any counseling programs. They said, what? Oh, he said, every Sunday morning, the Holy Ghost. And he said, every one of our services, he said, the Holy Ghost counsels. And he said, people get answers. Today, you get a 5,000 member, Spirit-filled church, they'll have 30 counselors in that church, and they're running full time. And they have to, because they don't have any life to give people. They have psychology and, you know, things to give people. Oh, yeah. Trying to do things. We want the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost can do things. Is this morning, I'm going to do some things. I saw before I came to service some things I was supposed to do. That's what I'm going to do. See, I don't have to wait to come to church and know what's going to happen. Dear Lord, God tell me things about it going to happen before I get here. Hallelujah. Well, thank God for gifts of the Holy Spirit. Those are the things that we need in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. So we're supposed to desire spiritual gifts. But then he says this, especially that you may prophesy. Now we talked about this before, and the Lord told me he wants me to go back to this, and we're going back to it today. Because we want to go back to the fundamental things. If we want to see the miracles and all these things, we got to come back and go do the things that the Lord said we're supposed to do. Apostle Paul's here, especially the gift of prophecy. Especially. Especially. Now, this is written to a church. This is written to Christians. This is a letter written to Christians. They said especially. So especially, he didn't say tongues. He didn't say especially interpretation of tongues. He said prophesy. Prophesying, according to Scripture, is not preaching. I have an anointing to preach, but I also prophesy. Now, there's one thing it is. I mean, sometimes when I'm preaching, the spirit of prophecy comes on me and I start speaking by the spirit of prophecy. That happens. But see, we need to understand operating in prophecy. In other words, to prophesy. And so it says, especially. So we as believers, are supposed to be able at times to yield to the Holy Ghost, because the spirit of prophecy is supposed to be a prominent gift. Now, this gift is not a gift for foretelling the future. This, we're going to find out what it's for, because Paul talked about it then, what it was for in the church. He told us what about prophecy, what it's about. But I want to read some scriptures to you here quickly. And I'm just going to read them off to you. But in Acts 1:8, Jesus made the statement to the disciples, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, and into Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So he specifically told them that the move of the Holy Spirit that was going to come when the Holy Spirit showed up on the day of Pentecost, it was going to be it was power. We need to understand these gifts that Paul's writing about are power gifts. Most people don't think about power of prophesying is a power gift. Every one of these gifts has to do with the power of God. Most of the church world is looking for something spectacular and misses the supernatural. They never see the supernatural. The supernatural power of God's moving, and most people don't even know it. Right now, me talking to you is the power of God. I'll tell you, I got saved by the power of God, someone preaching to me. Caused the greatest miracle in my life that ever took place. The church don't even recognize it, don't even see it. Their way, no, you got to have something, you know. They'd go out here, you know, and some statue cries, and they are, ooh, my God, is something, oh, there's something supernatural, and there's something thing. They're looking at all these things. They don't even know what God's supernatural is. Can't even identify. Don't identify. You can't identify the power of God. You can't cooperate with it. The gifts of the Spirit, the gift of prophecy is the power of God in operation. Through an individual. It's God speaking through an individual. God speaks. See, the reason we don't have it in the church today is because people don't recognize that God speaks through people. They just think that a guy gets up and preaches. And in most, a lot of preachers, it is. It's just them talking. It's their idea of things. They don't know nothing about the anointing. They don't know anything. But we don't know today about... I just think about the prophets of old, and they prophesied. We read their books. We need to understand. If you took them and brought them to the church today, most people would never consider. They say, well, that's his opinion. What if God didn't say that? Then we read the Bible. We say it's true what they said. We pick and choose. I mean, these are reasons why we don't have the power of God demonstration. Because the church, in their ignorance and in all their education, they keep through their mind trying to figure all the stuff out because they're spiritually don't know what's going on. And see, this is why we're going back. God told me to go back over things doing with the foundation, because you don't get the foundation right, you're not going on to the rest of it. It's not going to happen. If you build something on it and then the foundation ain't right, forget it. It's going to crumble. It's just going to be another fad that comes in, another fad that goes. Everything and every little tantrum that the church gets off in and following little things in the sides, it's all because people are not founded in the truth. They don't have a foundational truth within themselves. You have a foundational truth within yourself, you won't get swayed by people come along with their little fantasy things that they run off with and little stuff. You won't get called off. We get called off, hauled off into that because the truth is not preached. Now, I want to read you something in Acts, the second chapter, and I'm going to start reading at verse 14. It says, "But Peter, standing up," this is after in the day of Pentecost, and they spoke in tongues, and all these people gathered and heard him. This is what Peter said. Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day." You can get the Holy Ghost so strong on you, you act drunk. They wouldn't have thought these people were drunk if they were just real sober, nice little, you know, religious guys. I've been so drunk I couldn't stand up. I've been so drunk in the spirit, I couldn't walk. I couldn't do anything. I tried to talk. I'd slur my words. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost will get on you. You know what? Keith Moore said this when I was in Bible school. He said, you could go through life a lot easier if you'd get drunk in the spirit every once in a while. I want to tell you what, people who don't know how to flow in the Spirit are uptight. A lot of the church world is having problems with things going on today out here. They're uptight. And they're uptight because you get uptight as a Christian and you can't walk in faith. You'll keep looking at all the problems going on. You'll get caught into that area. Hallelujah. You can't stay caught up in there. I'll tell you, getting drunk where you laugh in the middle of your problem. Do you ever do drunks too? No, look, I was an alcoholic. You know why I drank? Because I wasn't happy sober. I was smarter than most Christians. Most Christians live their whole life miserable. Believe me, I know it. I lived through it as a kid. I came out of a home of miserable Christians. I went to a church of miserable Christians. Always on out there, it's bad, but it was just as bad in the church. Nobody was happy. Dear Lord, Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. I know why the church has no strength today. You can't lose your joy and have strength. You take any human being, just from a natural standpoint, you take an individual and they lose their joy of life, they have no strength. Science has proved it. Their immune system will quit working. Their body will start shutting down on them. Most Christians, if they just got joy, they wouldn't need healing so often. They want healing and have no joy. I'm going to tell you, glory to God, the joy of the Lord's my strength. Hallelujah. You got to keep it over there or you won't stay strong. You got to be able to look at trouble and say, dear God, me and Jesus are going to take care of this baby. We're not sitting around saying, oh God, help me. We're just going under. Lord, you got to do something. Full of faith in the Holy Ghost, I tell you, just... Pray for me, brother. Say, nah, we'll just slap you in the head, wake you up. That might help. Hallelujah. Verse 16, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions and your old men will dream dreams. And on your men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they shall prophesy. Now, Joel's prophecy emphasizes prophesying. That in the pouring out of the Holy Ghost is prophesying. On who? Men servants and maid servants. In other words, men and women. The Holy Ghost is going to pour out, and what are you going to do? Prophesy. Is that ever preached in the church? No. Joel said, the outpouring of the Spirit, in other words, there's things that are going to be emphasized. Prophesying is number one, visions and dreams. My God, you talk, most of the church world today, if you talk about having a vision, they'll think you're as flaky as a day is long. You know, you're probably schizophrenic. You know, you ought to take some medicine. Kenneth Hagin told the story years ago. Spirit-filled denomination. And a minister had a visitation from an angels and told them about it and they wanted to put him out of the church. And the one older minister said he had been studying the scriptures and got teaching on angels. He said, and they asked him about this situation. He said, it doesn't bother me that this man saw an angel. He said, what bothers me is we don't. It has always bothered me, Christians that don't ever have supernatural happen. That bothers me because I started in the supernatural and I've been there ever since. I don't understand that people don't have stuff. I do understand why they don't, but to me, being over and calling ourselves filled with the Spirit and not have anything Spirit-filled happen, it's like, dear God, these are the norm, visions and dreams. This is what Joel said comes with the Holy Ghost. See, we need to come back to the Bible. We need to read it again because we have not been taught right about the Bible. What needed to be emphasized was not emphasized. Understand this. You will never move in anything that you are not taught, because you will have no faith to step out in it. That's why I'm teaching this stuff, because I want you to come to faith to step out into it. It isn't so you can have a nice teaching session and say, boy, the pastor really taught, I've never heard that before. It don't matter. You got to get it in you and start having faith to start to do and operate. You see, yielding to the Holy Spirit. That's what you want to do. And having faith to do it. But if it's not preached, you will not have faith to do it. You know, you go into a church that all they have faith on salvation, and they'll preach salvation and get people saved. They'll preach getting born again, and they'll preach people getting born again. But they don't preach anything about healing. Nobody ever gets healed there. Wow, there's no faith for it. There's been no faith for prophecy in the church because, and here's one thing that happens. You always get people who get into extreme. And here's the church. If somebody does something in the extreme, then they quit doing it. Because we don't want anybody to mess up. The devil always wins, it seems, in the church. Because any manifestation of God, there's going to be somebody going to try to carry it to extreme. But we don't move away from what's true because somebody got in a ditch with it. You can't do that. Brother Hagin almost died because of that. His ministry, he pulled away from it because the church, so much got people got in a ditch, he quit ministering some things the Lord told him to, and the Lord told him, he gets back over there, the devil's going to eat his lunch. He's in disobedience to God. See, we can't, doesn't matter. I don't care if there's churches out here that have carried the Spirit-filled life to nuttiness. But I'm going to tell you, there's a Spirit-filled life, and there's a right one to walk in, and there's a move of the Spirit that I know that's right, and I've walked and lived in, and the nut ain't going to get me to quit. People can say, and he's one of those. They can say anything they want. God knows what it is. God knows what it is. People can try to tie me to the nut. I ain't a nut. I am a nut to a lot of people, though. But the things of the Spirit, we stay with them. I'm not trying to be to follow the social path, the get along crowd. I ain't going there. And that's what we have today. The church world has become this social thing. It's not God's house anymore. It's social things. Following what pleases society and what makes people feel, what makes everybody feel comfortable. You know, I wonder how comfortable Paul, you know, hey, read Paul's letters in there about all the stuff that he went through. See how comfortable his Christianity was. You know, Randall Greer said they wouldn't let Paul in the church today. They would never let him preach what he preached. And he's exactly right. Most Spirit-filled ministers on TV would never let Paul get a hold of their microphones. He wouldn't be allowed to talk about all them beatings. He wouldn't be able to talk about beaten with rods. How many times he got whipped by the Jews, 39 times, preaching the gospel. They had told him, oh, he didn't have no faith. If he had faith, Brother Hagin told us, he said, if you're not suffering persecution, you're not living godly. Because the Bible says, if you live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. Hallelujah. I know I'm heading on something right. I might have missed it in a few places. Hallelujah. Because there's a lot of people don't lie. They don't want to hear. They want to hear something else. Tell me, I don't have another message to preach. I only know that if God can't work through you, you're just a religious person. It's what God can do. It's not what I can do or my great thoughts or my great wisdom. It is not that. It's His great thoughts. It's His great wisdom. And if He can't bring it through me, there is no point. There's no point in Ed being on this earth. I came to understand that when I was a young Christian. When the Lord told me, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, understand I was born again less than 3 months. And the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, you're going to amount to nothing as a Christian. About over 10 years later, the Lord spoke to me one day and said, most of my people have amounted to nothing. The body of Christ don't realize. They have no idea. We play all this religious stuff, and we don't. If I can't do the will of God and carry it out, there's no point for me to be here. I'm just taking up space. I don't want to meet Jesus one day, and He says, "Man, you really took up a good spot down there." Take up a lot of ground down here. I say, yeah, Lord, but what did I, didn't I did this in your name and I did that. And he said, yep, you did it. You did that, didn't you? Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're stepping into a time, I want you to understand, there's stepping into a time we're coming close on. There's going to be many people who want to hear the messages that I preach. They're going to want to hear it. There's people who are going to want to hear it. They're going to open their ears and say, yes, I want to know the truth now. I want to know the truth. Ministers that ain't been preaching the truth ain't going to step in and take that place. They're going to first have to sit down and be taught the truth. There's many of them that used to know it, but it's going to take them years if they have to, would be to get around again because they've gotten so full of junk. Getting turned around, some of them will not ever get turned around. You can go so far on a path, you can't get turned around. Hallelujah. Ain't going there. I've had enough trouble in life without me causing myself more. Hallelujah. But we shall prophesy. They shall prophesy. So here, and we want to look at this thing as the areas of prophecy. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14 chapter, the purpose of prophecy, general prophecy in the church. Now, when I'm talking to you about prophecy, I'm not talking about being a prophet. The prophet's ministry is a different thing. No person who does not have a teaching or preaching gift or both is not a prophet. A prophet stands in a ministry office which teaches and preaches the word. Somebody who just prophesies is not a prophet. Prophesying is not being a prophet. We're told because that would mean that everybody in the church could be a prophet. Why would you covet to prophesy? In other words, are we covering to be a prophet? And make everybody a prophet. Well, that can't be. Because it tells us in Ephesians, Paul wrote, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, evangelist, pastor, teacher, only some were given these gifts. You know, a small minority in the body were given those gifts to stand in those offices. So the prophet's office is not, he's not talking about a prophet. The prophecy, the gift of prophecy operates through a prophet in a much higher level than it does as an individual. Now, even though I stand in that office, and I prophesy on a higher level. Many times I prophesy just in general prophecy. And we're going to find out what Paul said about that. And this is what, here's the great need for you to be able to do this because of what Paul said here, the blessing that you can be to others. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3, starting verse 3, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue, it says, edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. He's talking to a church. That all of you prophesied. Why? To edification, exhortation, and comfort to people. He said, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. Tongues and interpretation are equal to prophecy. But he said, especially that you would just prophesy. To prophesy. Now, it is done, okay, to edify. It means to build up. In fact, you know, Kenneth Hagin used to always use it, and I think it's a good illustration. He said it's like charging up a battery. Prophecy is given to charge people up. You know, sometimes people need charge. God wants to say something, charge somebody up. He wants to charge people up. In other words, prophecy given through individuals can charge another individual up, speaking by the spirit of prophecy. This is general prophecy. This is not speaking as a prophet for telling the future or anything like that. This is things said by the Holy Spirit. Many times the Holy Spirit gives something to somebody and they don't carry it out. That's why sometimes I get words for people in advance. In fact, this is going to happen today. I got in advance to tell two individuals specifically. Now the Lord might go on from there, whatever it was, but to speak some things specifically to individuals for them is to encourage them. So in other words, that's what, and this is just simple prophecy. This isn't the prophet's ministry. It's not the prophet's ministry. Hallelujah. To exhort, it means to urge, to advise, to caution earnestly, to admonish urgently. It says to encourage greatly. To comfort, it means to soothe or console someone in grief or aid or encouragement. So those are the things that general prophecy will do. That's generally prophesying. It's not being a prophet. You know, some people have learned to operate in the areas of prophecy pretty much, and then all of a sudden so they tag themselves as I'm a prophet, and they're not a prophet. They don't teach or preach or minister. They're not a prophet. They don't stand in that office. If you're not a teacher, preacher, you don't operate over in that area, and very seldom will you see a person start off in the prophet's ministry to begin with. They start off in other ministries and end up moving into the prophet's ministry. Paul started off in his ministry as a teacher and then a prophet and then went on to be an apostle. He didn't move into the apostolic ministry first. You follow scripture in the book of Acts, you find out that's true. We can't go in to teach it today, but you'll find out that that's true. Hallelujah. This is what Peter made this statement about prophecy, and then we can tie it to whether it would be a prophet or general from the standpoint of prophecy. Peter in 2 Peter, the first chapter, in verse 20 and 21, Peter said, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Why? Now listen to this. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Holy men spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's a moving of the Holy Spirit. Understand this. It's moving. So there is no way that we as believers cannot understand and know the flow of the Holy Spirit and be able to go over into these areas. We've got to learn to know the Holy Spirit, listening on the inside. See, here I was. I was up this morning just looking generally at some of my things and my notes on there. And it's really funny. This morning, I knew that I was going to use my notes this morning. Ain't that something? I knew what I was going to use. But doing it, the Lord told me He's going to demonstrate some things and then showed me some things to say to some individuals. He showed me those things and I saw it. I saw the individual and I knew things I was supposed to say. So, and it's just like I knew those ahead of time. That's nice. I don't always get that. You don't always have it. Sometimes I just know that I'll see, like before service, I'll know there's somebody I need to minister to. I'll know that. And I don't know what it's about or what it's for. I just know that. So you just operate in faith as far as you know to do. You know, sometimes if I call a person out, I may not know what it's about at all. That doesn't matter. We just operate in faith. God said do it. We'll find out once we step out. That's where faith comes from. You act in what you do know. You do what you do know and let God work. See, most people are, what's the end result of this going to be? When I find out what the end result is, I'll do it. Well, you'll never do anything but faith. Most of the time, you don't know the whole thing. You don't know it all. And so, we have to get ourselves over to where we listen. So, in prophecy comes by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read something to you. Let me see. I want to come over to... Listen what Romans 12:6 talks about the general gift of prophecy it's talking about in the church. Romans 12 and verse 6 says, Paul wrote this, he said, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, he said, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. We prophesy according to the proportion of our faith. No gift will operate through you no more than you have faith to operate in it. There's manifestations that operate through me a lot, and because of I know how to yield to them and know how to I can operate them on a higher level. Then there's some that has operated through me in a much lesser, and I've operated at some, but you're never going to know it. All of it, because manifestations operate sometimes differently through different individuals. You know, like the gift of healing? You'll see, especially from a minister standpoint, you'll see that God operates through healing like different ones that you'll find different. Brother Hagin, God gave him a healing anointing, a special healing anointing. And he'll minister to people. He used to minister to people. One of the main things that God used to do, and all the time, people get healed of cancer. People had tumors or lumps and stuff. He'd minister to them, and the lumps would disappear, the tumor would disappear, stuff like that would happen. But yet, he didn't have like blind eyes open. He wasn't as predominant in that area. And I know other ministers, and they turn around, and like T.L. Osborne, my words, is over in India, and he'd line them up, the blind people, and just get them healed like that. But yet, he didn't have other areas he did. And so you need to, gifts can operate different through different people. Not everybody has the same. And through as a ministry, gifts operate differently through different individuals. And we need to know some gifts are more prominent in the way they manifest themselves. Some are on higher levels than they are that are given by the Holy Spirit that operate through people. It's just like the gift of prophecy is general people are not going to have the same level of anointing that a guy who stands in the prophet's ministry or a woman who stands in the prophet's ministry is going to operate in. It's not going to be the same. It's not going to be the same. I want to show you something concerning, look at the book of Acts. I'll do that. I have a number of different things here that are from the Gospels. But I want to look over here in Acts because in we see these things here. And I just want to share this with you this morning. In Acts the 21st chapter, because I'm looking at the book of at the New Testament concerning manifestations of gift. We're New Testament people. Now, prophecy operated under the Old Testament, but we see it through the prophets. See, not everybody didn't have an anointing. Not everybody was saved. The Spirit of God didn't live in everybody in the New Testament. There was only certain offices were anointed to stand and do certain things. So, the prophet's ministry in the New Testament is not like the prophets in the Old Testament. You don't have to come and ask me what God's saying. Because you have the Spirit too. See, we need to understand this. I know many people, there's a lot of people operate in, there's a big group here in the United States over the years. I've watched them, and man, they're all messed up. They're these so-called come-out prophets, and they put out these prophets, and they've come out of their organization, all these prophets. And it's all Old Testament prophet stuff. And I'm going to tell you what, I've watched how they've messed things up. That's how down in Florida the revival started, got messed up, bringing their prophets in down there and started talking stuff and ended up letting the devil get in the door by what they're doing. The guy who God operated through to bring that thing, to start that thing off, started going to the prophets and asking them what God was saying to do and started doing what they said God was doing. I'm going to tell you what, if God started it off through you, you don't go to some guy it didn't start off from to find out what you ought to do. You know, it's like, brother, I saw this back, years ago. Brother Hagin talked to us about it. They had this, every church had to have an apostle. And so these guys would turn over and put their churches underneath some guy called himself an apostle. Brother Hagin said, an apostle starts his own churches. He don't go to somebody else's church. It's the churches he found. He said, if you founded a church, he said, that's the one God gave to you. That ain't somebody else's. You don't get some other guy. See, we get all this fake. Well, you have to have this and you have to have that. Number one, a guy who is an apostle, he goes around and founds churches. That's what his gift is. The apostle Paul went around founding churches. I know men who stand in apostolistic men. Well, we have one that was just here. And he was sent by God and he went over the Czech Republic and God moved. He started a bunch of churches. So he's not pastor over any other churches. He was head over those churches he started over there. He's the apostle over them. But he ain't the apostle over this church. He's an apostle, but he ain't apostle over this church. And he got good sense and knows that. Because if he came and wanted to do that, I'd tell him you ain't coming here no more. Because it's going to open the door to something we don't want. But he has good sense and knows. Now we have him because we can't glean things from him. We can't get things from him. We surely can. But he's not in charge over here. And see, you have to know that. I go to other countries all the time and people, because I have a church and these people will go and they'll always call me pastor. And they'll come to me. I say, number one, I ain't your pastor. You need to understand that. I said, even though if I pastor a church, I'm not your pastor. So don't come and expect me to operate under a pastoral gift. When I go to other countries, Ed's the prophet. He ain't the pastor. Most places I go, all they know is the pastor, and everybody's pastor, and everybody's this, and everybody. I ain't no pastor. When I go out, I don't operate in the pastor's gift because I'm not the pastor to those people. They got pastors. God didn't send me there to pastor. If they don't know the gift. And then I get these knuckleheads that want me to come. Say, why don't you come in? We want you to do this or do that. And I'd say, no, when I come, this is what I do. This is my anointing. They want me to do stuff that's other anointing. I say, well, then go get the guy that got the other anointing and go get him to go do it. But this is what I do. That's what works. That's why the church is so messed up today. My God, they got people that are trying to do 47 different ministries. And anybody that gets any kind of money today who starts bringing a lot of money in ministry, they always start doing 50 ministries they shouldn't. Always trying to do all kind of... What you do is help somebody else that's in the ministry that's doing that if you want, if your heart's in that. But if you're not called to it, you're just throwing money out there. That's one of those things when Jesus shows up, they're going to say, look what I did. And he's going to say, what? I didn't call you to that. You threw the money out in that one. You stay in the Word God called you to. See, Brother Hagin, they kept trying to get him to be something else he would. And he wouldn't. He'd always stay over in his gift. And I learned, if you're in the ministry and you want to live out a full life, you better stay in your office. Or don't be surprised somebody come in and shoot you. Open the door for the devil to do destruction. You don't want to go there. Stay in your office. That's an important part. Hallelujah. Sometimes that's what people do. They get out of their office. Stay in your office. Hallelujah. I can't do everything. I'm not anointed to do everything. It'd be dumb for me to try to. I'm not going to try to take somebody else's place. I'll tell you what. We need people in different offices. You know, I'm not going to try to be an apostle. I ain't called to it. I ain't going there. Stay over in the office that I'm in. Now, in Acts, the 21st chapter, I want to read this to you. Hallelujah. And then... I'll do the ministry the Lord told me. But I want you to see something here because this is really good. It sort of shows us going on concerning prophecy. In Acts, the 8th chapter, and starting at 21st chapter, starting in verse 8, says, on the next day, this is the Apostle Paul, he says, we who were Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. Now, this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet came, named Agabus, came down from Judea. So when he had come to us, and anyhow, this guy prophesies to Paul. But I want you to see something. Now, I've heard so much bad teaching over the years from this. They say this man had four daughters who prophesied. Said they were prophetesses. No, Scripture don't say that. Why would the Scripture call Agabus a prophet? Why wouldn't they have been called prophetesses or prophets? They're not. He has four daughters who operate over and prophesy. They were just general body of Christ people who flowed. In other words, Philip is the same Philip who went to Samaria and preached Christ. He's the evangelist who went there. You know, he started off as a deacon, ended up an evangelist. This is why a lot of people who feel called to ministry never get in the ministry. Because they won't go in the helps ministry. They want to start off on the top. You ain't gonna. It ain't gonna help. The Lord put me in the ministry when He put me in. 1987, May of 1987, He said to me, because you were faithful with other people's ministries, I'm going to put you in your own. Paul said, God found me faithful and put me in the ministry. He didn't say, God put me in the ministry because He gave me a great gift and a lot of revelation. If anything we don't need anymore in the body of Christ is the unfaithful being put in ministry positions. That's a huge problem, is why we're in the mess we're in today in the body of Christ. I don't care how gifted you are. I don't care how. I know, if you ain't been faithful... Jesus said, if you haven't been faithful with somebody else, who's going to give you their own? Is Jesus going to give you a ministry when you ain't been faithful to somebody else? No. He's not going to do that. See, I'm telling you what the Scripture says. I don't care. I've been around ministries and I've watched it. In fact, I've talked to a guy who was over head over me in a ministry, in an office, in a ministerial group I was in. And I talked because in his church, he was putting people in ministry places that did not qualify to the Bible. And I said something to them about it. See, when I see my leaders and their ministries are getting out into this stuff, it ain't good, because I don't want to sit under this stuff if these guys are going to do this stuff. Because that same spirit is going to try to get on me. Ed's got enough trouble without letting somebody else's devil come. And I said to him about it, and you know what he said to me? This guy, he's got 3,000, so-called 3,000 member church. He has 3,000 people come to his organization. But he said to me, well, you can't take that all, you know, so seriously and so strictly. I said, it ain't me, serious or strictly. The Bible says. And from that day on, I said, this man can't be my leader anymore. He can't be my leader. Because if he'll lay the Bible aside on this, what else is he going to lay it aside on? And now I've watched him then over the years. Oh, and people rave he has a good church. Sure. Unspiritual people will think you have a good church when their flesh feels good going there. Sometimes I don't like to hear me preach. I think, oh, dear Lord. Lord, that message was for me, wasn't it? Dear God, I've got to go home and repent. Hallelujah. But see, there was a prophet came. When the prophet came, he signified the difference between a prophet and one who prophesies. Look, you're not anything inferior. Every part of the body of Christ is needed in its place. And prophecy is needed in the church. We need people with words of God to another person. I am tired of somebody just has, oh, Pat, well, we feel sorry for you and feel bad for you. People want to hear from what God's saying. What's God said? How does God feel about the trouble that I'm in? What's God saying about it? I'm going to tell you what, when somebody dies or going through something, I don't even want to face people unless I know God has something he wants to say. It's like to me, what do you say? I mean, I feel so inferior from the standpoint of what you say to a person, their loved one's gone and whatever's happened. And like, what do you say to the individual? It's just like what Mapuche generally come and say, or the cards they send. I mean, we could just stamp that stuff out, just send them a recording of what you said the last time when somebody died. You know? But you know, it's why people, I have watched it over the years when God's voice spoke. I've seen people come with the wisdom of God and speak into a situation, a few words, change everything. And I think, oh my God, that was the best thing that ever happened. Out of all the preaching, everything anybody else did, what they did was by the Spirit of God was the most wonderful thing that happened. That was the best. See, I want to know what God's saying. Hallelujah. If I can come and I can carry his words, if I can come and hand his words instead of how I'm feeling about it, oh, it really hurts me too. I want to know how God feels about it. I found out many things that hurt me. God told me, you know, God's opinion of it was totally different than Ed's. Because my feelings were in the wrong direction. So I want to know how God is, God's view. I know my own personal life, getting God's view on things to my view, and I had changed everything. When God spoke to me about finances and about giving, and just when he spoke to me and started talking to me personally about it, people said many things. I listened to much teaching over the years, but the biggest thing that changed me was when God spoke to it. Took me into a new place to walk. Took me into a place that none of that, it wasn't the matter that they didn't give me information. People didn't give me information that was good. But God spoke to Ed specifically about Ed's need. Where Ed was at. I wasn't a general person sitting in the congregation anymore hearing. God was specifically speaking the message to me. Wow, that changed everything. Now, I've had that happen sitting in a pew where it seemed to me the message spoke directly to me. God was talking to me that day. See, that's what we want. I could come in here and give you general information. God gave me this teaching this week. I wasn't even going this direction. I have never taught in this direction concerning prophecy. Never done it. And you know how long it took me to get the message? About 10 minutes. God just quickened the thing in my spirit. I knew what to do. That amazes me. I could sit down and study all week to get a message. He could just show me something. This is what I want you to do with it. here's what I want you to do. And I sit down, knew the direction of what I was supposed to do. It's like, my words. I was sitting the one morning, just sitting there putting some of this stuff together, notes, and sitting on my laptop just typing things, and just smiling and thinking, you know, people work and try to get a hold of what God wants to say, and here I get a message, it just pops. Hallelujah. But I've learned over the years to operate in faith concerning the gift in me. I'm not going to wear my... I don't wear myself out in study to get messages. I go after God to find out what He wants to say. I'll be honest with you. I don't study to get messages. I never do that anymore. I don't ever study to get messages. The thing to do is go after God. I had an instructor at Rhema said this: you need to preach out of your overflow of your relationship with God. Man, that stuck with me. Most people that are trying to come up with messages are trying to develop something on their own. I'm going to tell you what, preaching and teaching is so natural to me to come out of me. It is so natural. I don't think about it in a sense anymore, getting a message. I know when I come, I will have what God wants to do. I know that. I know He can talk to me. I know He can reveal things. But I need to put myself to the place to let Him talk to me. Let Him reveal Himself to me. Find out what's on His heart. I got a lot of things on my heart. They're nice, good things, but I find out so many times it ain't what He thinks is a good thing to say at times. Number one, I don't know what's in your life to what you need. I don't know everything about you. My name ain't G-O-D. I ain't God. God knows what people need. I don't. I could think of tons of things. It's like I've told you before. It amazes me. I get all these notes, all this stuff that I got, all past sermons. It just seems God don't touch him anymore. He goes to new stuff. He goes things the way He wants to say and wants to do about it. And I got all this stuff. And I mean, I could sit down and preach for years on things that I already have notes on. Literally for years, years and years. Probably for many years. But I have all this. But God takes me back. Many times He'll remind me of a certain thing I minister. And He'll say to you, I want you to do it this way this time. And He'll start. And I think, my God, I've never seen it that way. This out of the same thing that I looked at before. See, that's where the Word of God's alive. And there's no life in it till you got a hold of the Holy Ghost. And He can start to bring that life to you out of it. Where you could see, not where you could study. He shows you. It's like He all of a sudden turns on a light in a place. I thought I had light in this area. And it's like He throws it. I say, wow, I never looked at it like that. It's just like this message He showed me. I said, well, Lord, I never taught this before this way. Never. I said, Lord, I never heard anybody specifically preach in this direction before. I said, maybe there's people out there who have done it, but I ain't run into one yet. I said, Brother Hagin never talked about gifts of the Spirit in this manner. But I said, it's biblical. Now, didn't we find out from Scripture? Isn't it right? God knew that all the time. I read those scriptures all over and over so many darn times and through that thing so many darn times, and I never saw it in the light until the light turned on, until I listened. Now, I would bet He tried to show me that before, and I never did. I wouldn't look in that direction. Hallelujah. You can get that way where you get caught in a direction that you're in and looking, and you're not looking. You know, you've been taught this way. This is the way. Some people don't like that because their favorite teacher taught this way, and if this goes off, it don't fit my favorite teacher. I learned. God give me revelation. Brother Hagin said this. You guys ought to go further than I went. He said, if you listen to me, you ought to go further than me. Most people don't want to ever go further than the guy who's their favorite. You better. You better. Think about this. We send kids to school and everything else. What if we sent kids to school and they never went any further than the teacher? Where would everybody be in life? Where would we be? Teachers should be set to put you on a road for you to go to something else, go to something more, to be able to go beyond. My whole point is you guys is to go beyond. If it don't take you somewhere, it only takes you where you're at right now. What good's that? We have to have better than that. And that's This is why we have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. How far can He take you? I'm just going to tell you how far He can take you. You've heard me say this before. When I asked the Lord about finances, and when He was telling me, I said, Lord, how far am I supposed to go? He said, how far do you want to go? How far do you want to go? How far do you want to walk in this thing of the Spirit? How far? How far do you want to move over in the area of the Spirit where God can manifest through you? How far do you want to go? It's ever how far you'll step and push into it, that's how far it's going to be. I can tell you how to go there, but you're going to have to go there. I can show you how things work, but you're going to have to go there. It's not like falling like cherries off a ripe cherries off a tree and we just run and pick it up and eat it. It doesn't work that way. It's how far you want to go. There's many people want things, but they're not going to do what has to be done to get there. You know, I used to listen to Brother Hagin and all the time that he spent in the Word and in prayer and all these different things. And I just had this idea when I heard him as a young Christian. Well, if I want to go where he goes, I'm going to have to do what he does. Today, the world has been brought into the church and we've brought socialism into the church. And socialism is the fact that God gives to everybody the same. No, He don't. Listen to this. Jesus Christ took the sin of the entire world. There is not one person in this world today that Jesus hasn't already forgiven them their sin. Not one. Sin has been forgiven. But hordes are going to hell. Why? Because we have a response to it. We have to receive the forgiveness of sin. We have to take a hold of it. It don't fall on you just because it was done. Gifts of the Spirit have been given to the church. The Holy Ghost wills to operate, but till we step out to it, to take a hold of it, they don't operate. We have to step out into it. We have to go out into it. Hallelujah. I used to, when I was a young Christian, I used to ask, Lord, show me how this stuff works. I want to learn how to flow in the Spirit. I want to learn how to operate in gifts. I wanted to know, Lord, how do you do this? And you know, inevitably, like an occasion would come along and all of a sudden I'd get an unction on the inside. But I found this out. I wasn't the only one. I'd find other people that get unctions on the inside. God give a person something to say or do. People wouldn't, they had the unction to do it, but they didn't do it. They shut it down. Now, when you first start off, you might be there, but you can't keep doing that. Because I will tell you exactly what happens. You keep shutting it off, and after a while, He may not respond to you at all anymore about it. You're going to have to come back and tell Him you want it. You're going to have to earnestly desire. You're going to have to start craving it. See, I craved the gifts of the Spirit because, to me, it was the most wonderful thing. I was involved over in sorcery and all that junk. Why? Because I wanted supernatural. I wanted something supernatural to happen. I have sought my whole life for that. From the time I was a little kid in church, they told us God was supernatural till you get old enough and go in the adult classes, and then Jesus died and never woke up. And they'd say He's risen from the dead, but He don't do nothing. And you're just waiting here, you know, to go home to be with Jesus one day, and I'm hanging on to the end. And when I came over and found out there was a real God, and Brother Hagin, when he would talk about how God used him, I wouldn't think about, boy, I want to go see Brother Hagin. I used to think, I want to do that. I want God to manifest through me. I want Him to be able to use me. That's what I want. I didn't think about, I want to be a preacher. I want God to manifest through me. I want to run into the, He has these encounters with God. I want an encounter with God. I don't want to listen just to another message preached. I want an encounter with God. And I crave for it. And I'd go shut myself up in the bedroom. I'd come home from work and shut myself up in the bedroom for hours on end with my Bible and get some tapes or something and a book, and I'd go in there. And in that bedroom, I had more supernatural encounters. God showed up in that bedroom. In that bedroom I had where God would speak to me at times, it was just as if a voice that anybody would have heard spoke in that room. But I was craving. I was telling God, man, I want a real God. I don't want this stuff. See, I knew demons could manifest. And I'm like, God ain't going to manifest. Oh, God don't talk to people anymore. And God don't do this. And God don't. If he don't do none of that, then I'm going to go back to the demons. Because the demons care more about this life than God does. But I'm going to tell you, God moved. And in that bedroom, I had visions in that bedroom. I had dreams in that bedroom. I prophesied to myself in that bedroom. I spoke in tongues and interpreted in that bedroom. In that bedroom, God would show me to pray for me. I'd pray for people and people would get healed. Me in that bedroom. Because I wanted something. Do you want something? Do you want something? You don't have to go after it. It ain't going to just happen. There's a move of the Spirit that's going to, when its fulfillment comes, it's already here, but when its fulfillment comes, many are just going to be spectators. It's not going to be a spectator. It's not a spectator. I'm not a spectator. I'm not going to be a spectator. They're going to be spectators. They want to watch it. Enjoy watching it. Then there's going to be the participants. And I will tell you this. There will be people who will come into the kingdom in this move that will move far ahead of many who have been in this move for years. Because they're going to come in hungry. And they're going to want it. They're not going to be satisfied. They're going to push past the ones. The violent are going to take it by force. They're going to push past. They're not going to play. They're just happy the way things are. When I was a young Christian, there's people who didn't understand how God used me, and I saw many older people get jealous because I was young in the Lord. The only reason I was being used wasn't because I was so bright and wonderful. It was because I wanted a move of God more than anything. I wanted a move of God more than I wanted the pastor to like me. I wanted a move of God more than anything. I wanted something supernatural to happen. I wanted something to come into this life that changes things. Not just another nice word and just pray for me. I wanted to hear the voice of God. I wanted God to move and manifest Himself. I'll tell you, in my bedroom, God became real. I'll be honest with you. The main church that God started me off in, my bedroom was the place that I loved to meet God more than I ever did going to church. Because lots of times in church, things just definitely didn't go the way they were supposed to. But when I went in my bedroom, God would show up at that place. He would teach me there. He would instruct me in things and show me stuff there that I never knew or nobody had ever said to me. Sometimes he would teach me certain things, and then he'd instruct me to go get Kenneth Hagin's series, and I'd go get a certain series, and here Kenneth Hagin would talk about what he had been telling me about. And then I'd get a conference because I'd wonder, is this just me? What is this? And he would have a message come to me teaching. I'd say, this is good. Listening to it. In that room, God became real to me. But I went after him and went after him and went after him. You're going to have to do it. I don't know another way to do it. If you got a better way, you could show me how it works. But you're going to have to prove to me it works. Not just tell me, I believe you can do this. I don't care what you believe. I want to know what you can do. Don't come and tell me what you believe. I want to know what you do. If what you believe produces what I need and it's an easier way, surely let me know. I'll take it. I don't believe we have to do all that. I don't believe God wants us to have to really do. Well, you believe whatever you want. I know the fruit of what I've done, and I've eaten it. And I've liked my fruit much more than a lot of people's fruit. I like it. Hallelujah. God still talks to me this day. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, I believe this is a hungry people. I believe this is a people that wants something more than they have. Lord God, the things you have me speaking, Lord, it just makes me hungry for more. Lord God, I want to touch out into areas. Lord, I can see there's certain things I've been slack in. Hallelujah. And I just, Lord, that's ending and you know it. that's ending. Hallelujah. Lord God, if anything we need that in a church, in a, oh Lord God, in the church, we need a move of the Holy Ghost in the church. We need a move of the Holy Spirit in the church. Lord God, Lord, this nation needs a move of the Holy Spirit in the church.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, that's what this nation needs. And Lord God, I just want to thank you. Lord, whoever you want to start things through or do, Lord God, I just want to cooperate in what you're doing.
Amen.
I just want to, Lord, who you want to bring forth and what you want to do, Lord God, I'll be their best cheerleader. Hallelujah. Lord, it's not about us as individuals. It's about your plans and your purposes being done. That's what this thing's about. It's about those things, Lord. Hallelujah. So I thank you, Lord. Lord, we're moving into these areas. We're walking in these areas. Lord God, Lord, I pray that you bring us the promptings of your Spirit in us. Lord God, to know things that we need to do and say.
Amen.
Bring those promptings. Lord, if we've missed it in the past, forgive us. Lord, every one of us has missed it at times. Every one of us have let things slide by. And Lord, we've looked and said, and we could have seen later on that we missed it. But Lord God, we didn't miss it because we wanted to. Lord God, Lord, I want to thank you. But I ask you, Lord, please, of anything, move again. Move again among us. Lord God, we'll yield to you. We'll let you use us. We'll let you manifest yourself through us. We'll do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And forgive us, Lord, for where we missed it at. Forgive us. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're not going to try to make any excuses. Okay, Lord? Hallelujah. But Lord God, we need your grace greatly upon us. Lord, even in yielding, Lord God, there must be a stronger anointing, a stronger anointing. And forgive us, Lord God, because the church world in general has made such a weakness of the anointing. And Lord God, but Lord God, I want to thank you in this place again, the anointing strong. The anointing strong. The anointing strong. Lord God, moving on this people. And Lord God, you're moving. You're moving, Lord God. And Lord God, Lord, they want something. They want to taste something that they've never tasted. Lord God, I want you to bring them into the places where they have looked at others have done and looked at all. But Lord God, I want you to move them into those places where, Lord God, the awe of God works through them. Hallelujah. Demonstrates through them, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, if anything in this last days, boy, Lord God, raise up more Holy Ghost ministers. Raise up more Holy Ghost ministers, Lord God. More people anointed, hallelujah, by God. Lord, people anointed to teach and preach and minister the Word. More people to demonstrate and the demonstrations of the Spirit so that people can know and understand and learn how to flow, Lord God. Hallelujah. We need it, Lord God. Lord, we have so few people that flow in it, and even ones that do know how. Lord God, they aren't showing anybody else. They're not telling others about it, Lord God. They're giving people what they want. Lord God, shake them up or throw them out. Hallelujah. But bring people to step in to these offices. Lord, there are people, Lord God, in the body of Christ, Lord, that aren't necessarily called to the gifts of the Spirit, Lord, to being an apostle or prophet. But Lord God, I ask you to move them out in because they know more about spiritual things than many people who have stood in those offices. They know more things spiritually. They understand them more. Hallelujah. They walk in them more. And Lord God, anybody that flows and walks in anything, we can all learn from. Hallelujah. We can all learn from. And Lord God, we want to learn. Hallelujah. We want to learn how you flow, how you move, so we can cooperate with you and bring glory. Bring your glory back to the church again. Hallelujah. Where the fear of God will fall again in the church. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The fear of God will come again. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now just what the Lord showed me. First he showed me, and I just want to do this. Jim, come up here. Come up here, Jim. Lord showed me you this morning. Hallelujah. So I just want you to come up here. Hallelujah. Come on over here, brother. Glory to God. Get a smile on your face. You know God likes you. And he does. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord told me to tell you this today. He said, you know, you've looked at yourself because things you haven't known in the past, and there's been lots been new to you. And you've looked like, oh man, sort of messing up and this and that. God don't view you like that at all. God loves the hunger that you have in you. He likes it. He thinks you're doing good.
Wow. I'm trying.
See, don't judge yourself after the flesh. It doesn't matter about the past or what you didn't have or what you missed in the past. It don't matter. It's what you're doing right now.
Amen.
And you're after
Amen.
God. You want God. And God looks at that and he's happy about it. He's happy about your desire of going after Him. And He knows your hunger, and He's going to fulfill it in you. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank You for my brother. Thank You, Lord God. Father, I want to thank You for the anointing of God in his life in the name of Jesus. I thank You, Lord God, You're going to use him mightily. Hallelujah. Lord, I want to thank You, Father God. Devil, I stand against You in the name of Jesus, bringing ridicule against this man. I bind you in your operations in the name of Jesus Christ. This is a child of God. God's hand is upon him, and you keep your hand off of him. In the name of Jesus Christ, he does not belong to you. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord, God is going to move mightily through you. Hallelujah. Your eyes will see and your ears will hear the things that you have desired to see and hear. And the glory of God, well, you will see it and know it in your life just as it is an everyday occurrence in Jesus' name. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Robert, come up here. Hallelujah. Now, these things that I'm saying, this is simple prophecy. This is simple words from the Lord that came. Hallelujah. Just simple. This is to encourage, to edify, to build them up, get them charged up. God's charging people up. That's what He's doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord said this to me concerning you. You've been in a search. You've been searching and looking. You came here on a search and looking. You want more. You want more. God likes that. God likes people that are hungry for something. Many people go to satisfy whatever. You know, many people have many intents why they go to do what they do. Why they even come to a church. But your intent was you want more of God. You want to know what the truth is. You want to walk in the truth. That's your desire. And God sees that, and He loves that. He loves that. Hallelujah. See, you've been following the desire of God in you. That's what you've been following. See, you've been led. You're brought here by the Spirit of God. You were brought here. God led you here. The hunger. You wanted more. And His whole intent is to give you more and give you more and give you more. And you will have more. Hallelujah. You've sought and you've found. But you ain't done finding. Oh, He's going to give you more and more and more and more because you've sought Him. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank You for Your anointing on Robert's life. I want to thank You, Lord God. I just appreciate hungry people so much. Hungry people. People who want more. And Lord God, I want to thank You that You're satisfying my brother. You're satisfying him. I thank You, Lord God, this day. This day, Lord God, You're encouraging him and strengthening him and build him up. Hallelujah. He's heading in a direction. You're not a nobody. You're a somebody. Hallelujah. Because you belong to God. Hallelujah. It matter not what people think. Hallelujah. It's what God thinks of you. In the name of Jesus. And He sure does have good thoughts of you. He has good thoughts of you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, that's what I got. Hallelujah, brother. God bless you. Yep. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, I want to thank You this morning. Lord God, You helped us here today. And Lord God, I just want to thank You, Lord God, for helping us. Lord God, the instructions that You've given us and what You've done for us, Lord God, is to strengthen us. And Lord God, to bind us together with You, Lord God, through the Holy Ghost. That Lord God, the ministry that You have for this church to carry out will be carried out through the glory of God. That the Holy Spirit will manifest through us and reveal Himself through us. And Jesus Christ will be magnified and Jesus Christ will be glorified. Of anything, we want people to come in this church and know that Jesus Christ is in this place. That men do not do these things without God's help. Hallelujah. That men do. Lord God, this wisdom is not ours. I never had none of this till I ran into Jesus. I never had none of the wisdom that I got till I ran into Jesus. And I want to thank You, Father God, for the great Holy Spirit to continue. Continues to flow that ministry of Jesus to us and through us, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, that the outcome will flow such a power and glory of the Spirit that it's going to astound humanity by the great glory of God. And we thank You for it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Have a glorious week.